Well, we've been looking over the last 3 weeks, last week, the week before, and today, about Moses going up mountains in our summer series at looking at mountaintops. And we saw a couple of weeks ago how Moses met with God, had an encounter with God, heard God speak through the burning bush on the mountaintop. We saw last week, well, I didn't because I was on holiday, but those of you who are here saw with Fiona how God met with Moses again and revealed the law to him. So Moses has these amazing experiences on the mountaintop. He goes up, he meets with God, he hears God speak, he sees God's glory, and he's called by God. And today we come to Mount Nebo. And if I had to give this sermon a subtitle, it would be Not a Happy Ending. Because Moses goes up on Mount Nebo to die. He longs to enter the promised land, but as you heard in the reading, he's not allowed to. God stops him going into the promised land. This is not a happy ending to the story of Moses. And the thing is, we like happy endings. As human beings, we like happy endings. As English people, particularly, we like happy endings. And some years ago, I bought for Pippa the first books in the series, A Series of Unfortunate Events by Lemony Snicket. This is the first one, The Bad Beginning. And for those of you that don't know the stories, which I guess is probably most of you, the stories all say, for those of you who like books with a happy ending, this is not the book. These books do not have a happy ending. They are miserable. Miserable things happen again and again and again through them. And it's true, they do. And book one ends miserably, and then you read book two, and that's miserable too, and then book three is miserable too. And because Pippa didn't actually enjoy them, but it was just me that enjoyed reading them, we didn't get very far in the series. So I don't know what happens at the end. And if there's someone out there, either a teenager who's read The End, or a parent who's read them with their children, I'd love to know. Come and tell me afterwards what happens at the very end. Is there a happy ending? Because we like happy endings. And to continue the theme of children's literature, a very good example of this is provided by the film The Golden Compass. Philip Pullman wrote a book, The Northern Lights, which has been made into a film using the American title, The Golden Compass. And this came out, as you can see from the screen, in July last year. It came out on DVD earlier this year. And I had a particular interest in it because I've spoken about Philip Pullman. And the film is fascinatingly different from the book because the book ends quite tragically and quite bleakly. And that's how they made the film, with this tragic, rather bleak ending. And they showed it in the States to the preview audiences, and the preview audiences said, "That's awful! What a terrible ending! It's so depressing! We don't like that!" So they cut it. They cut the ending that was miserable, and they gave it a happier ending that was a bit more upbeat, a bit more positive, a bit more hopeful. And they said, "Well, we'll save the footage and put that at the start of the sequel." We like happy endings. We don't like miserable endings. And as Christians, we believe in a happy ending. We believe in the ultimate happy ending. Our faith rests on happy endings. That's what God has given us. So Adam and Eve are expelled from the garden because they disobey God. They don't do what God wants. That's the beginning of the story. Jesus comes and he obeys. He is the new Adam. That's how the New Testament portrays him. The one who listens to what God says, is tempted in the same way, and obeys and puts things right. We know that Jesus dies on the cross. The story seems to go wrong. It seems to have a sad ending, a bad ending. And yet we know the story goes on, that Jesus is raised from the dead. It's a happy ending. God triumphs in the end. Good triumphs over evil. Life triumphs over death. It has a happy ending. And when we come to the big ending of the story in Revelation, the beasts prowl and the church is persecuted and oppressed and Christians suffer. And yet at the end of the story, God intervenes. The heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, comes down to earth and God's rule and reign is established on the earth and there is an ultimate happy ending. Last two books of the Bible show us how glorious life is going to be. So as Christians, we believe firmly in a happy ending. But for Moses, there's no happy ending. Moses dies on the mountain, dies looking over the promised land, which he's longed for with all his heart, but doesn't get to enter it. He dies, as we heard in our reading, in exile in Moab, looking, but not going in. The Lord said to him, Deuteronomy 34, 4 and 5, which Heather read, "This is the land I promised. I'll let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. And this seems a bit tough. It certainly does to me. Moses is this great man. He's led the people from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land. He stood up to Pharaoh, despite all the threats and the tyranny of Pharaoh, and said, "Let my people go," and went on saying it until Pharaoh did. He stood at the banks of the Red Sea and struck the water with his staff and opened the way for the Israelites to escape where the Egyptians drowned. He had that faith. He put up with the faithless, muttering, murmuring, annoying people of Israel who again and again spoke up against God, against Moses, and yet Moses still went on praying for them. He kept faith to the end, and yet he doesn't get to see the promised land. Is this right? And the passage recognizes Moses' greatness, recognizes his goodness. The last couple of verses say, there's no one like Moses. No prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders. No one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did. He was a great man. And this says to me that the Bible is true to life. It's one of those reality checks that comes through that says, this is not a made-up religion to make us feel good about ourselves. It reflects the messiness of life. Life and death, joy and sorrow, success and disappointment, happy endings, and frankly, in our lives, if your life is anything like my life, not so happy endings. We do not preach health, wealth, and happiness in this church. There are televangelists who say, if you just give me all your money, then God will bless you in every respect of your life. Your job will be better. Your house will be bigger. Your car will be fantastic. And everything you do will turn to gold. We don't believe that in this church. Why don't we believe that? Well, because it doesn't reflect what Scripture teaches. You can take odd verses and take them out of context and preach that message. But tell me, is that how Jesus lived? Is that how Peter lived? Is that how Paul lived? It's certainly not how Moses lived. Life is not like that. No, the Christian life is much more like Mount Nebo, that we look out across and don't always see the fulfillment of what we long for. And it seems to me that the heart of Christianity is what we see in Moses, that faith is trusting in God's happy ending, even when we only see it from a distance. That Moses did not see God's happy ending for himself. He could only look out across and say, I believe that God is going to do that. I trust that God has a happy ending, but I myself am not going to experience it. So the question rises, you know, why? Why won't Moses enter the promised land? Why is he stopped from going in? And actually, it's a theme that runs through the whole book of Deuteronomy. It starts in chapter 1, it's mentioned again in chapters 3 and 4, and it pops up again and again as Moses asks this question. And in chapter 32, God says it pretty bluntly. He says, on Mount Nebo, you will die, just as your brother Aaron died on Mount Hor. This is because both of you broke faith with me at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin, and because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites. Therefore, you will see the land only from a distance. You will not enter the land I am giving to the people of Israel. God says, I'm afraid you blew it, Moses. I know you did many good things. You have been close to me like nobody else has ever been. But you know that you did what was wrong. You know that you blew it. You know that I said you couldn't enter the promised land. And so the first thing I learned from this lesson of Moses is that we live with the consequences of our past. There are things that we've done in the past that God has forgiven. And yet we live with the consequences in our life and always will do. Let me give you a couple of examples. Jonathan Aitken, disgraced former conservative politician, member of the cabinet who lied, was found to have lied, was sent to prison, became a Christian. Now, I've heard Jonathan Aitken speak, and I'm sure that he has become a believing Christian. I'm sure that God has done amazing things in his life and changed his heart and changed his character and changed his personality. And yet, if he tries to go back into politics in any way whatsoever, He will be slaughtered by the press. We've seen it already. There's no way that he can go back to that. I'm sure that God has forgiven him what he did in the past. And yet, he has to live with the consequences of that past for the rest of his life. I've just finished reading a book by a Catholic priest, a former Catholic priest, called Brennan Manning, called The Ragamuffin Gospel. Throughout the book, Manning talks about the fact that he is an alcoholic. Now, he doesn't drink anymore, but he says, I am always a recovering alcoholic. I can never say I'm an ex-alcoholic. I'm always a recovering alcoholic because that lives with me for the rest of my life. It shapes who I am. And so there are things that we've done in the past that will still live on in the present and in the future and will have a negative impact on the rest of our lives. That's just the way it is. Angela Seton Mills, when she came and did our prayer ministry training morning the other week, was talking about this and the fact that there are relationships that are broken that may never, ever be restored. Even though God may forgive us for our part in that, even though we may experience healing and release for ourselves, the relationship with our parents, with our children, with our former partner, whatever it may be, with a friend that we've broken up with, may never be the same again. Sadly. We live with the consequences of what happened in the past, although we ourselves can know healing and forgiveness and freedom. We live with the consequences of the past. That's what happened with Moses. I also see from this lesson of Moses, from this episode in his life, the death that ended his life, that we live with unanswered prayers. You see, Moses pleaded with God. It comes in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 23 and 25 to 6. I pleaded with the Lord, let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan. But because of the people of Israel, the Lord was angry and would not listen. That's enough, the Lord said. Do not speak to me any more about this matter. That's pretty blunt, isn't it? Stop that praying, Moses, said God. Enough, shut up. It's pretty blunt. Paul said, I prayed three times for a thorn in the flesh to be taken away from me, but God said no. Moses pleaded with God. And the Hebrew experts say that sounds like he went on pleading for quite some time. But God said, no, stop. The answer is no. And however much you go on praying, the answer will stay no. And sometimes we live with unanswered prayers that the answer is no, and we will not see what we want. So in life, the message is sometimes we see the glory. And I hope you do. I hope there are times when you hear God speak, when you feel the presence of God in worship. It was lovely to hear Shwan's testimony about experiencing God in praise, sensing God there, hearing God speak to her, even through a preacher. But that's fantastic. But there will also be times when we don't hear God, when God seems distant, when the answer is no. And that, it seems to me, is the Christian life. That's how it is. Sometimes glory, sometimes presence, sometimes the wonder, sometimes disappointment, sometimes no happy ending, sometimes we're on Nebo. And yet, you know, in all of this, the great thing is that God has a bigger plan. That's what Moses knows, trusts, and lives with. Just after God says, stop praying to me about that, God goes on. Go up to the top of Pisgah, which is another name for Nebo. Look west and north and south and east. Look at the land. Since you're not going to cross the Jordan. Okay, just remind you of that. By the way, you're not going there. But listen, commission Joshua. Encourage and strengthen him. For he will lead this people across. And he will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. I've got a bigger plan. And so in the passage that Heather read to us in that last chapter of Deuteronomy, it goes on, after Moses dies, now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. God has a plan, a bigger plan. Moses is a part of that plan. Moses actually brings it to fulfillment because he's the one who lays hands on Joshua. He's the one who tells the people what to do. And they listen to Joshua. God has a plan. And so perhaps, you know, just perhaps it is a happy ending after all. Because the Israelites go on to enter the promised land. The Israelites go on to listen to Joshua. and to experience God's blessing and to receive what he's given. Faith for you and for me is going to be sometimes up on the mountain with the glory. Sometimes I hope and I pray for you and for me, it's going to be hearing God speak. It's going to be feeling God's blessing. It's going knowing his presence. It's sensing him powerfully with us in worship. Sometimes it's going to be glory days when we go down to the waters of baptism and come out and know ourselves renewed and restored and one with God. But sometimes it's going to be up there on Mount Nebo. Disappointment. Not what we hoped for, not what we prayed for, not what we wanted, just as Moses experienced. But faith is trusting in God's happy ending, even when we only see it from a distance. And Moses' very last words in chapter 33 of Deuteronomy are, "There's no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you and you will trample down their high places." Moses trusted. Moses knew that underneath are the everlasting arms. He may not have entered the promised land, but he knew God had a happy ending. That's the heart of faith. That's the message of Mount Nebo.
Thank you, Simon. I'm aware.